I promise I didn't plan it this way. Today I've been tasked with offering my thoughts about stewardship, and I didn't get to choose the readings. That's some monumental task undertaken by the Revised Common Lectionary people. Some random crew of probably theologians who actually pay attention to what readings we hear throughout the year. I lucked out, though. Today's first reading and psalm were practically hand-picked for this year's stewardship campaign, proud of our heritage and eager to embrace our future. Let's look at the first reading from Joshua. For weeks and weeks and weeks, we have been journeying with the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt to liberation in a new place. This week, the nation of Israel has finally arrived in their homeland. Now, their precious leader Moses died before reaching this promised land. But fortunately, Moses had named somebody as his successor. He named Joshua. So maybe Joshua was facing a community in chaos, a group of people anxious about their future. Yes, they were back in their homeland, but that was no guarantee of their future success. For all they knew, God was going to take a back seat in caring for the people, especially because the people had not exactly been faithful to God during those 40 years. We have heard story upon story of the temptations faced by those chosen people, particularly temptations to fall away from God, from the God who had liberated them from slavery. Sometimes when the journey was difficult, the Israelites complained a lot about the conditions they were facing. Sometimes when the journey was hard, the Israelites even went so far as to say they wished they were back in Egypt, where at least they had food and water. And it is these temptations that Joshua seeks to address in this morning's first reading. Now, I don't get the sense that Joshua was a very heavy-handed leader of the Israelites. In his speech to all the tribes of Israel in Shechem, Joshua does not yell at the people for their short trips of unfaithfulness to God. Joshua does not complain about how the people had been complaining about God. Instead, Joshua reminds the gathered tribes of how faithful God had been to them. Joshua reminds the people of the story of God's relationship with them. Joshua reminds the people of God's long history with them, a history that traces all the way back to Abraham. Joshua reminds the people that God has long loved them and God has long sought the best for them. Joshua reminds the people that God keeps all promises, including the promise made to Abraham and Sarah, that their offspring would be numerous as the stars in the sky. The people gathered are the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, probably genetically, but also definitely spiritually. Those people gathered at Shechem can trace their spiritual lineage back to those original ancestors, to Abraham and Sarah, their ancestors in faith who trusted God's word, even in the most difficult of circumstances. And those people gathered in Shechem have benefited from God's relationship with them, even up to and including their difficult journey to their homeland. And in consideration of God's faithful relationship with the people, Joshua tells the people the response that they should have. He tells them, "Revere the Lord, serve God in sincerity and in faithfulness." Joshua doesn't force the people into relationship with God. Instead, Joshua reminds the people that they have a choice. Will they serve the gods known to the local people? Or will they serve the God of Abraham and Sarah? Joshua knows his own answer, an answer that appears on plaques in more than a few Christian households. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua invites the people there gathered at Shechem to have a similar response. He encourages the people gathered there to make a similar choice. Choose this day whom you will serve. Fortunately, the gathered crowds make the better choice. They decide to stick with the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God who led them out of slavery, the God who brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Good choice, right? Because of the people made a good choice, the right choice, the book of Joshua is not the last book in the Old Testament. The story of the chosen people continues. The line of history that began with Abraham and Sarah eventually leads to the birth of Christ because the people made a good choice. But it's not the history of the chosen people that compels them forward. We hear about the second part of the equation of God's relationship with the people in today's psalm. The second part of God's relationship is the promise that that relationship will continue into the future. The author of Psalm 78, often assumed to be King David, is intensely concerned about the future survival of faith. We can hear it in verse 3 where we read, "That which we have heard and known and what our forefathers have told us, we will not hide from their children." There's an intentional connection made between God's past faithfulness and the promise of God's enduring relationship with those people into the future. A similar idea is conveyed in verse 4, and again in verse 5, and again in verse 6. The psalmist wants to make sure that his ancestors' faith, that faith of Abraham and Sarah, that faith continues to future generations. And this continuation depends on sharing God's laws and sharing stories of God's faithfulness. The continuation of faith depends on sharing stories of the people's dependence on God, even during the most challenging times. As I mentioned at the beginning of this message, I promise I did not choose today's reading to somehow make them fit into the stewardship campaign slogan, "Proud of our heritage and eager to embrace our future." I know I didn't choose the readings because I never could have found such perfect ones. For once, the Revised Common Lectionary actually smiled down on this preacher and provided intensely appropriate readings. In Joshua, we hear that story of faithfulness, a faithfulness that existed and continued for generation upon generation. We too have a story of faithfulness, a faithfulness of generations that leads us here today. We too have a story of God's faithfulness to us as well as our faithfulness to God. Like the chosen people, we too are proud of our heritage. In today's psalm, we hear words of hope, hope that looks forward to a future in which people will still be in relationship with the one true God. We too have hope, a hope that generations to come will find a spiritual home with us, the faithful people of St. James Episcopal Church. We too have hope, a hope that the future that God has in store for this congregation, whether we are here or whether it is after we have left, the future that God has in store for this congregation is hopefully marked by an ongoing love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. And that is why I offer to the church. That's why I engage in the practice of stewardship. Like God's chosen people, I can trace God's faithful actions in my admittedly short life history. And like God's chosen people, I look with hope to a future of continued faithfulness. I give of my time and talent and treasure in response to God's past, ongoing, and future faithfulness in my life and in the lives of you, the faithful people around me. So as you discern your financial commitment to the life of this congregation, look back fondly, warmed by remembering the many ways God has moved in you, in this place, and in the people around you. And I also invite you to look forward excitedly, energized by the possibilities for growth. Not only growth in the number of people sitting here, but also of spiritual growth. Amen. Amen.